The Masters was epic.
Like a dinosaur could get, like a raptor could just pop out or something.
Because I wanted to save my one In-N-Out privilege to like maybe go take a nap or something.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Heads Up Pod. As you can see, I'm decked out with Masters shit. Everyone's got Masters stuff on. We're here to talk about the Masters, Augusta, some of our experiences. We're also here to talk about Scotty, the tear he's on, Nelly, she's on fire. Mm-hmm. We also talking about a few other events that we did touch on in April, like Quiet Golf. But let's transition into, why don't we talk about Quiet Golf and Puma? How did that sort of come through?
Yeah, I will say, like, so Quiet Golf is a relatively new golf brand. Mm-hmm. I looked at their Instagram. They started in February of 2021. So it kind of just came out of nowhere.
Cool.
And since then, they opened up a retail shop in Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just recently did a pretty sick collab with Puma.
Yeah.
Whole collection, including shoes.
Yeah.
So Ash went out to Laguna Beach.
Yep.
Did a little event there just to kind of promote this new collab. But yeah, Ash, how was that?
Yeah, so I got a chance to represent Golf Heads out there at the event. Honestly, you know, I've been fortunate since joining Golf Heads, partnering up with Jay, been out to a lot of these events. You know, you always see like the different creators, influencers, all these guys show up and they're not always really fucking with the product or the collab or like, you know, whatever it is. They might like components of it or whatever. Here, I really saw everybody who came out was really rocking the gear. Like they really loved the product and
yeah.
These guys nailed the collab. Like the kicks turned out really like, pretty like they look pretty beautiful.
It's like the green paisley.
Yeah, the green paisley. On the
What are they called? Do they have a name, or is it
that was? So it was a classic shoe model from Puma.
Okay.
So it just released this year.
Yeah.
And I think this was their first kind of brand collab on that shoe.
Sweet.
So it kind of has that like FootJoy look to it.
Got it. Yeah. More of your traditional.
Yeah, but it has like a really clean green paisley. But the paisley design's not like a different color. It's all green, so it's more subtle.
Yeah, cool.
But it looks clean.
Yeah. And so I would say like the turnout was great. People are really engaged with the event. We're playing in a canyon. So it was like such a great location. Got to play with a couple of really cool people that I hadn't met before. A couple like up and coming semi pros and amateur golfers. But then played with our boy Matt Kang.
You're considered an amateur, though, right?
He's getting
Let's go.
Trackman amateur.
Wait, before you move further, what do you remember what the course was called?
Yeah, so it's called the Ranch at Laguna Beach.
Sick.
Okay. And so it was like really cool. Like you're right on the water on one side, but once you enter the course, you're like literally tucked inside a canyon. And so like just the greenery in the surrounding area, like you really feel like you're kind of transported.
Yeah. You know what it looked like? Sick. It looked like that Hawaii course.
Yeah. The one that we play on TrackMan.
It might be. Yeah. But you've seen that course, right? It's like it's kind of located in the Jurassic Park area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the backdrops and it looks unreal. But that course.
It's funny you say that because it had that kind of vibe. Like you felt like it was like a movie. Like you're really like somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like a dinosaur could get like a raptor could just pop out of somewhere.
It had like that rainforesty because it did just.
Yeah. We got poured on, which like again, like it just goes to show you like people were just about it. Like they were happy to be out there. Yeah, got to play with our guy, Matt Kang, met Sam Yi, who a lot of people, shout out to Sam, such a good dude. But again, you know those sun sleeves? You see a lot of Live golfers wearing them. That's his company.
Cool.
Nice. So he's really, really involved in the community and an influencer in his own right. And so just like a really interesting kind of group of people that came together. And then, shout out to Raul and Diego over at Quiet. We see a lot of these brands that are coming up and I think they're really doing things the right way.
Yeah.
And like design is really at the core of a lot of what they do. Retail experience, all that is just, it's elevated. And I think they're going to continue carving out a lane for themselves. I was kind of surprised they did a collab with Puma this early.
Yeah.
But I think it just goes to show you, like, I wouldn't be surprised if now the next wave of collab comes out for them, whether that's with a TaylorMade or an Adidas or one of those other brands.
Totally.
I could see them now kind of expanding on that, and it's pretty pretty cool.
Yeah. I do really like the brand, just how they position themselves. It's a contemporary brand, but a lot of subtle designs, not too flashy, not trying to be like overhyped.
Yeah.
And this collab, you saw Ricky Fowler and Gary Woodland wear the fits.
Which you never see, right? Like, you never see the players actually like really buy into it. Yeah,
and they just look clean. Even the polo, the green polo had the paisley on it, the subtle paisley, and it. Yeah. I was looking at that. I should hit Diego up.
Yo, I got the cream one, the paisley, like cream on cream paisley.
Yeah.
Fire.
Sick.
Yeah.
And just the material, everything. Like, they really.
Were a lot of people wearing the shoes at the event?
Hell yeah. Like, yeah. Again, this is a place where, like, typically, like, I had my nines with me. I was thinking about I would rock those.
Yeah.
I consciously made the effort to rock them because I'm like, this just goes with the fit. I want to rock them.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the vibe I got from everybody.
Cool.
It was cold as shit, I will say that.
Okay.
For like, you're in Laguna, you think you're gonna be like nice and hot, whatever. Yeah,
totally.
They did a really good job. Like, they had a really nice hoodie and a nice crew, so you saw a lot of people rocking that as well.
Nice.
So again, it just shows how diverse that collection was. But
right.
It was a full run, which is kind of rare. Like, we went to a pretty big retailer there. I'm blanking on the name, but it's like our version of Golf Town.
Okay.
And these guys had a full 20x20 setup there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a big real estate to take over in a major retailer.
Yeah.
And these guys had like a full women's collection and men's collection.
Nice.
Again, for an up-and-coming brand to partner with a Puma, or like, you know, a top-tier producer,
mm-hmm.
You just don't see that shit that often. And it's like, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Speaking on the shoes and the fact that you did play in them, you know, can you talk about comfort and how it held up?
Yeah, good question. So you guys know me. I'm not much of a classic shoe wearer. I like the new sneakers. I like the new style. I like the kind of the lighter kicks in general.
Yeah.
These felt light. They had a lot of the new tech in the sole that came from the new Nitros. And so it didn't have the same like new weird kind of, you know, those cleats at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it had a very custom kind of Puma Golf kind of built-in cleat at the bottom.
Nice.
But all that to say, it was super lightweight and it didn't look heavy.
Right.
You know, like you see some of those old school shoes, the base just looks a little thicker.
Like bulky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just had that nice silhouette. And then to Jay's point earlier, like the green paisley just, it kind of pops off on the way they designed it.
Yeah.
Even the QC Puma logo on the side, like they just did.
Yeah, they did it right.
Done right. Yeah.
That was a good collab for Puma.
So like just sort of taking it to like the charts, you know, design, what would you rate that shoe?
The shoe? Oh, that, good question. 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I say 9 out of 10 because that one extra, like again, you guys know, I have an issue with the toes on all these classic shoes being just like fucking a plain white block.
Yeah.
And I get there's some function and form to that, but aesthetically there's still something missing. When you take all this effort in the back half of the shoe and then just leave the front so empty, and after two wears, because I've worn them a couple times now out on course,
nice.
You start seeing crease lines and that kind of stuff, and it's like, okay, had they just done a little extra there, whether it's like a little wingtip design, whatever they could have incorporated,
right,
it would have faded out some of those imperfections that come out over time.
Totally.
And would have given it, I think, a little bit more longevity in my closet.
Yeah.
Cool. Other than that, I think they're fire. Comfort-wise, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
No blistering, no nonsense. Again,
yeah,
feels pretty good. Like, I still think comfort, like, that. I've tried a couple of the FootJoys. I've tried a couple of the other brands out there where comfort might be able to go, like, one more tier up.
Yeah.
And what's our other?
Performance?
Value.
Oh, value.
Value.
I got blessed by the Quiet Golf team. So, yeah. So we.
Good value.
Great value.
Yeah. But, nice.
Yeah, no, I honestly think, like, if you're looking for a classic silhouette and you're like, I want, like, a good approachable shoe that I could wear all season long, the value would be up there on a kick like that.
For sure.
Hell yeah, man.
But, okay, so all this to say, I was super hype about being out in Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
But while I was out there, and this was like pretty early in the month, you guys had been plotting something a little bit bigger, or at least Josh had been.
Yeah.
And AP, you kind of fell into something, but fucking Augusta. Both of you assholes out there.
I know.
Ash with the FOMO, listeners with the FOMO, talk us through, first, I just want to hear, what was your path to getting to Augusta? Because I feel like that's like that North Star course and event for everybody in the golf world.
Yeah.
But I think everybody has a different path to get there. And both of you guys, obviously, different stories. And yeah, want to hear how'd you end up at the Masters?
The Masters was fucking epic. Like, oh my God, man. You know, I'm still on a high, and I've been home for about a week.
Yeah, you must be a little high with that.
Yeah, look at this guy. Wears this outfit every day.
Polo.
This is my pajamas. This is my morning gear. This is my afternoon gear.
Yeah.
So if you can't already tell, man, I had a blast. It's, you know, it's really actually hard to explain how, you know, the emotions kind of went through when I got there to even when I'm leaving and to now. Nothing short of like, you know, what you'd expect.
Yeah.
For sure.
How about you, Jay? You still feel that high from the experience?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wear this hat every day and I always get compliments. Like people are always asking, like, did you go to the Masters? I'm like, yeah. They're like, how was it? I'm like, fucking unreal. Like you said, it met my expectations.
Yeah.
But it's funny because like when you guys were gone, I didn't have plans to go to the Masters.
No.
So I felt FOMO because I wanted to come to the Puma Quiet event, but I couldn't. And then you got hooked up at the Masters, which in my mind, I thought was impossible. Like I had no idea how to get there. Like I felt like the lottery was impossible. It's called a lottery. How are you supposed to get tickets?
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't really have any expectations for that week, but then when the opportunity came, I just jumped on it and never looked back.
Yeah. You know, like, and you know, maybe touch on that opportunity, you know, like,
yeah, how did it come up?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met this guy through Instagram, through the Golf Heads account. His name's Jed. Connected through the Instagram account a couple years back. And, I took him out to a round at, one of the local courses here. And we just kind of hit it off. We talked about like the sim opportunity too. He was interested in that. But he's like a business guy. He moved out to the Philippines with his family. He's been going to a lot of PGA tournaments through his connection with Tom Kim.
Okay, nice.
So him and Tom Kim's brother are like best friends. They grew up together.
Easy.
And Tom Kim actually moved to the Philippines when he was a kid to get as much golf and practice in. Because, again, Korea was super expensive. It's really hard to kind of develop your game out there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they just kind of grew up together, had tickets for the entire week, but he didn't know that he had weekend tickets as well.
Yeah.
So he only thought he was there from the, I think, Tuesday to Friday.
Wow.
So at that point, he already booked his flight home, made plans with some friends that were coming to town, so he couldn't really cancel all that. So he hit me up on the Golf Heads account. He's just like, hey, I got Saturday, Sunday tickets. Like, do you want to come?
So you didn't even reach out to him. He reached out to you.
No. Like, we were supposed to meet up in Toronto a week before, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
So I knew he was kind of in town, but then he was at the Masters all week. And he didn't want to sell them, obviously, because they were kind of gifted through the players. But didn't want them to go to waste.
Got it. So Tom Kim hooked him up. Essentially.
Yeah, so Tom Kim pretty much hooked me up, man. But yeah. Thanks, Tom.
Tom, you want to be on the podcast anytime?
Yes, have one.
All right?
But yeah, I mean, basically when he said, like, do you want to come Saturday, Sunday? I thought about it.
This guy messaged me. He's like, yo, should I come to Augusta?
Wait, dude.
Like, because you hear all these different stories, right? Like, people getting, like, screwed over.
Yeah,
One of the one story I did see was from New Nine to Hall.
Yeah.
You guys saw that as well?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a disaster.
Sorry to hear that, Brandon.
But anyway, that's why I was like, dude, like, make sure these are real.
Yeah.
Send me a photo of the pictures. Like, I could tell you if they look all right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, I met him in person.
Yeah.
But he wasn't charging me for the tickets. So unless he's like a complete ass and just wants me to pay for a flight and stay out there and not give me the tickets, I'd be like, I mean, he gets nothing out of it other than a laugh.
True.
You know? So,
so kind of jokes.
Yeah, I know.
He has all his cameras set up.
Pumped. So I didn't feel like a gamble, but I guess when I was telling people I got two tickets to the Masters, they're like, they seem sketchy.
I'm so happy you came, man. I was just like, it was so hard to explain how I was feeling at that time. And I was like, dude, this is a one, This is like an opportunity that you can't really, you know, miss on. You know, when is this ever going to come around again?
Of course.
I mean, you can message him next year, but.
Also, I thought about, too, at that point, Tiger made the cut.
Yeah.
How many years does Tiger have left?
Yeah.
You never know, right?
Right. That's cool, man. And I guess you flew into Charlotte. I also did the same thing.
Yeah.
So we flew into Charlotte with the company that I did go with. They brought me on as like a production coordinator, sort of like photography, sort of supervisor. And we got there on the April 4th. So like a good like week and a half before the actual tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the, you know, valuable tips, you know, if you're going to Augusta is like flying to Charlotte. It's a 2-hour flight. And it's also
from Toronto.
Yeah. And then once you get to Charlotte, rent a car and then you drive to Augusta, which is only like, you know, a 2-2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
So super helpful because I hear like the Augusta Atlanta airport is a madhouse, especially during that time of year. But yeah, like I'll sort of just touch up on how I got there is just like, you know, I met this guy a couple months ago, you know, and we met at a job and he does a lot of event photography for big companies such as like the NHL, NFL, NBA. And then I asked him, you know, like if he does anything else, and he mentioned the Masters, and like me, you know, being very animated, I was like, dude, like I love the Masters, like please let me like keep me posted. And then that, you know, it came to fruition. 2 months later, he hit me up, sent me an email, very cryptic email that said, new project, are you interested? Gave him a call. I had to go into his office and he had to tell me. And like I was just like, hell yeah, like no problem.
So what was like the setup, the activation that you had going on at the Masters?
The company's called Pixperience. And our activation was at Founders Circle.
Yeah.
And so that's in front of the clubhouse.
Right.
And it's down Magnolia Lane, and that's where a lot of the members and golfers come through.
Yeah.
So it's very like, you know, I'm looking forward at Founders Circle, and then behind me is Magnolia Lane. You know, it's such a, you know, a magical, like literally like a hallway, a lane, like where all the magnolia trees are just hovering over the road.
Right.
You know, middle of the day, you see all the, like the sun leaking through the trees and, you know, it's clear as day because, you know, there's not really much wildlife. There's no squirrels running across the road. There's no birds chirping in your ear. You're kind of just like, in this magical moment, you know, and it was pretty special, pretty fortunate. But essentially we have four different like tripods on, with cameras. And then we have this huge lineup, that people, you know, wait to get their photo done. And essentially, you know, we scan a QR code with, like our iPods.
Yeah.
And then it transmits, to the camera. And then once the photo's taken, they're done. We give them the card where they can then scan the QR code at home and get their digital photo right away as a souvenir.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It just makes a lot of sense for this event because you couldn't bring your phone in those tournament
days. Was that like one of the few, I guess there's like the only photo op, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah,
man. So, and that's what's funny. You know, a lot of people who are there for the first time are going to line up for the souvenir.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest debate, you know, is like, are you lining up to go to the souvenir to get this souvenir, or are you buying souvenirs from the merch shop?
Right.
You know, or are you placing down your chair at the first tee, you know, and you got to make all these different decisions based on, I guess, your point of view and why you're going to the Masters.
Yeah. And I guess how long you're staying there for, too. Right. Because like, obviously, I'm sure we're going to touch on it, but the merch, you know, shout out to the gnome here. the merch is obviously like a big part of the Masters experience. They fucking crush it from a revenue standpoint. We Jay and I were hearing some stupid numbers that they brought in over the weekend.
Crazy.
And then just hearing about how they funnel inventory out, like the logistics behind it is very sophisticated and very, very interesting as like a case study.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you guys prioritize? Like, isn't it, I'm sure it's like, especially being your first time, was it overwhelming going the first time and walking through the gates and seeing like, okay, do I do exactly that? Do I go plant my seat at a hole? Right? Do I go to Amen's Corner and like get a spot? Do I go to the pro shop? Do I go to find a pimento cheese sandwich? Like what's that first kind of like intuition when you guys are walking through the gate?
Yeah.
I mean, I got some advice from other people that attended the event. Sonny was saying the first thing you should do is go to the pro shop.
I mean,
so I got there early before the gates even opened.
What's early? Like what time do gates open?
Good question.
It was 8 a.m.
Okay.
But I think I got there at like 7, 7:30. So it being my first time, I didn't know what to expect, really. So,
you didn't know if there's going to be a lineup or like, exactly. Yeah, what parking's
going to
be like.
Situation. So, you know, right at the beginning, you get funneled through. There's a volunteer pretty much like every like 10 meters guiding you to parking. Like there's so many people.
Yeah. Right.
Just helping you get set up. And when you get there, when you go into the parking, it's a big field, kind of looks like a campground, and it's massive. Like there's no shortage of parking.
Right.
And then
do they scan your like ticket, your card? Like what do you have to show?
Parking's free. They don't look at anything.
Okay.
It's really just when you get to the gate is where you have to scan.
Got it.
So, I mean, there's people that when I left for the first time to drop some stuff at my car,
yeah,
there were people in the parking lot asking like, "Oh, are you leaving? Can I grab
a ticket? It's right here."
I'm like, "Dude, this is a weekend round. I'm coming back. Yeah, yeah. Where am I going?
Yeah.
No fucking chance." So, but yeah, I mean, I got there early. There were a good amount of people, but it wasn't like a massive festival where you're just like gonna wait for an hour.
Right.
I probably got in the first 15 minutes.
Right.
And then they had multiple lines to scan, quick check-in. So it was really quick to get in there. And then when I went to the pro shop, no lineup. In my mind, I was thinking like, oh, people don't really care about the pro shop.
Right. Yeah.
But as soon as I left, the lineup was massive. It was like back to the check-in.
How did you find the pro shop? Like you,
it's the first thing you run into basically.
Oh, really?
You can't miss it.
Oh, I see.
You know, you walk down this little path and then pro shop, food area. It was kind of like a little, kind of like a cozy, covered in trees little area, kind of like a little village almost.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
It was really, that particular entrance was really nice. And then when I went to the North Gate another time, that's more of a grand entrance. Mm. You know, you could see the massive practice area. And then the pro shop's like 10 times bigger.
Right. Yeah.
So it was cool, different vibes, a big contrast there.
Totally.
But yeah, no, it was.
Was inventory similar between the two locations? Like, did you feel like you lost out on anything by going to South first as opposed to the North?
A lot of it is the same, but there's probably a few like different hat styles and some smaller merch that, you know, aren't really game changers that we're missing.
Right.
But even the smaller pro shop had so much inventory. They had a back room, so they kept stocking up on stuff.
And
there was no shortage. I think I saw a lot of people wearing different hat styles that weren't available, and I think that's just due to it being picked up on the first few days.
Okay, right.
You know, some like the beige rope hat that, you know, is now selling for like 10 times.
Yeah, I was able to get 4 of them.
Actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are they?
Yeah. So you bought the bootleg box.
Know,
where's the real box?
Garbage.
Yeah, don't give me this bullshit box.
I gave it to the fam. You know, they knew I was going. Again, this was an opportunity that I don't know if I'll ever be back.
Yeah.
So I did just kind of like load the bag with what I thought was cool. And it was hard for me to really like decide. You know, like, are people going to like the classic fits?
Yeah.
Or because it's the Masters, it's classic.
Right, right.
Or do I go with like more of a modern day tech style rope hat, you know? Yeah. So it was hard really deciding what to get for people.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, like I was just curious, like between, you know, South and North Gate, mm-hmm. what are things that, what items were in the North Gate that wasn't in the South? Like, was it more accessories? You know what I mean? Like, I know the sizing is a lot different, but to beat the rush of a line and to go to the South Gate versus the North, like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I feel like when I went to the South Gate and got all my stuff, I got everything I needed. Then when I checked the North, didn't really feel like I missed out on a few things.
Right.
Maybe a few hats that I even could have picked up, but they weren't that nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think I'm glad I went to the South Gate just because there's probably less of a line.
Right.
People get in and out.
Totally.
But yeah, totally. I had everything.
How much did you spend, if you don't mind me asking?
So it added up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But when you look at the price tags, they're all fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, the hats were $32. I got a towel that was only $19.
Yeah.
Markers, $20. You know, so they weren't really price gouging you.
USD. Yeah.
And then the USD, which kind of sucks. But yeah, I spent, it came up to maybe $1,000 US.
Oh, nice.
Which I got, I felt like I got a lot of stuff. I got the gnome too.
Yeah.
This is $30, which isn't bad.
You know, right? Like people are reselling that for like 150.
I know.
No, some of those are going for now for, they've climbed even more.
Climb, mini ones?
Yeah, minis are going for like 250. I wonder some of the hats, like the pimento hat, it was for $3-4.
Yeah.
Like some of this stuff is getting real, real flip value.
Yeah. Actually, I got a mini Masters putter. It was about the size of the, like, I don't know, like a ruler.
Yeah.
And it was hard metal. It was green. I showed a picture of it. So it looked like a little Masters Scotty Cameron.
Nice.
I brought that on my carry-on. And I couldn't bring it through the security. They thought it was an actual putter. I'm like, I can't fit a real putter in my carry-on luggage. They took it out. They're like, you got to check your bag in.
Your actual
what?
Front gate. So I was like, fuck, I can't go all the way back there. So I'm like, okay, just take it. But I was pissed.
So you had to leave it.
I had to leave it. Yeah.
You couldn't just walk on with it?
Like, no,
you couldn't fit in your carry-on?
It was in my carry-on.
Oh, and they took it out.
They took it out. They're like, well, you can't bring a golf club on the plane. I'm like, it's a souvenir.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, no. I fucking love that thing, dude. Oh, man. There's no use to it. Like, what are you doing with it? But, that was a little disappointing.
Look, I think if you're at the Masters and you have a couple days, you know, get that out of the way. You know, go down on the first day, early in the morning, line up in the shop. It's worth it because you can spend hours in there and buy as much as you want. So highly take advantage of, you know, I would suggest going to the north one versus the south one, just in terms of like inventory and what they have.
Yeah.
And
then take it to your car right away, because I made the mistake of carrying two bags around for half the day, because I wanted to save my one in and out privilege to like, maybe go take a nap or something. So I was walking around. My arms were killing me. And then I finally just took it to the car. I was like, I regret it. I should have just done it right away.
Yeah. For sure, man. Yeah. And like for all those like collector item people, like the gnomes, the bigger gnomes go fast. Like they go within the first hour. I don't know if you saw any big gnomes.
If you told me to grab it on the first day, I could have got you.
Because you saw them.
They were there. But then I checked on the Sunday, they're all gone.
The South Gate.
Both.
Wow.
Yeah, both.
That's another great tip, man. Like, I didn't know that. And if you're looking for the gnomes, the big gnomes, like, they're a hot commodity. Like, people, like, a lot of people dress like the gnome. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's actually nuts. If you're going, go to the North or South Gate. You know, big gnomes are definitely going to be the hottest commodity, so get there as fast as you can. Then once you get the purchase in, put it back in your whip, and then, you know, continue on with the day. Line up at Founders Circle.
So what do you think of the actual course? Because, like, you know, we watch the Masters on TV. You kind of see how beautiful and pristine it is. But then when you're actually there, like, what stood out?
So the course, oh, my God. It was like, so the way I entered the course from the North Gate shop, you're walking. And then to enter the course, the first tee is on the left-hand side, but then the leaderboard is on the right.
Right.
So I wasn't even actually, you know, the first thing that caught my eye was the leaderboard. I was like, oh my God, like, look at this Masters leaderboard. And there's guys working the leaderboard. Like, there's a huge ladder. Like, guys are swinging, like, you imagine those old school libraries?
Very old school. Yeah.
Where they have like a ladder and they have to like go across. Like, that's exactly what they were doing on the leaderboard.
Yeah, on the leaderboard. It was cool with the leaderboard because whenever, you know, on the final day when Scotty would hit a birdie, people are like waiting for them to change it and they flip it.
Yeah.
Whenever someone hits a double bogey, they see the score change and everyone just starts like booing or like everyone's like anticipating the score to change.
It's so true, and that's an experience that I've never taken in, you know, in a golf world, you know, like I'm so used to it watching on TV. But this was like a live, you know, switch up. And you could tell the emotion of the fans being like, and they were all like, wait, what happened? And then you look at the scoreboard.
I think a big part of that too is not having your phone, right? Because you can't just check what's happening with Tiger on 13 right now. Like, you really have to be involved, like, you know, stay on top.
I think that was one downside with that leaderboard. So it would show the top, I think, like 5 to 6 players.
Okay, right. So not the full field.
And then there's a side panel will show the players that are on that hole of what they're at. So that would switch out. But then you had no idea what was going on at the bottom of the leaderboard. So, like,
right.
if you had some money on people, you had no idea where they're at.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, you know, if you don't have your phone too, right? No idea what's going on. But it worked out really well on the final day. Because that's all you cared about.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not like they have one leaderboard. There's, like, leaderboards at, like, every turn. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're really aware of what these guys are shooting, how they're shooting. You know, if they're getting doubles, whatever. But yeah, so that big Masters leaderboard, it had everyone on it. It had let's say it had Tiger Woods, where he's from, and like his score, which was pretty cool. Yeah, so like just seeing all of like
that's cool.
You know, the international players coming through, guys who were from the area. You know, I thought it was really personal. Mm-hmm. You know, and it had like a nice little touch. And on the top of it, it had all the different the flags, you know, Canadian flags, you know, and it was awesome, really cool.
Yeah.
And then so back to the course, you know, I walk past this leaderboard and then I walk up this hill and you're on the first tee. Did you watch anyone tee off on the first tee?
Yeah, I caught some players.
Yeah. But super cool, you know, like there's like a line, you know, there's obviously the ropes where you can't cross. But those ropes are like people are hugging the ropes, you know, to like take in, you know, who's teeing off, and like, man, the first look at the actual course down the first hole, I was like, oh man, can I get hit the fairway?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and I'm like, it's beautiful, you know what I mean, and you know, playing from tips, you know, it's far, like a lot of like elevation. You know, it's a very narrow fairway. There's a bunker on the right, trees on the left. You know, you really got to hit your shot. But I was just blown away, not only by, you know, how well manicured the course was, but how, you know, everyone's so respectful too of it all, you know. And again, like probably the best course that I'll ever step foot on. It was amazing, dude, for sure.
Yeah, I would say like some of the holes did seem pretty open, some pretty wide fairways.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of undulation throughout the entire course, like just perfectly manicured.
Yeah.
When you look up in the fairway, there's no bumps. It's just like perfectly flat. Goes all the way and you can't even see across that.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
There wasn't any rough. Kind of like the rough area was felt like almost like a fairway,
yeah,
which was interesting.
Right.
So a lot of shots were in play.
Yeah.
But then you get to more to the back nine. That's where there's a lot of like water hazards and dog legs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, just like such an accessible course. You know, with you being able to cross multiple holes very easily. You can see so much golf and just standing in one area.
Right.
The first tee box is also right next to the 18th green. So like you could even just stay in that area and catch everything. So,
yeah, even the ninth green.
Yeah, I mean that layout is just perfect for this tournament. The grandstands are in perfect locations, so much space.
Right.
Didn't feel like I had to hover around people to catch most of the golf.
Yeah. Right. A lot of concession stands everywhere, a lot of pro shops like dispersed on the course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they also do have like these.
How was the food? Like all the hype food. Did you guys try any of the sandwiches and stuff? Like I know last year, obviously that was big on social. How was the pimento?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So with the food, they have rows, right, where you just grab and go, and they constantly have them stocked. So it's really efficient in terms of walking through that and grabbing food, but you're grabbing sandwiches all the time. There's no like other types of made to order food.
Got it.
So you had the pimento cheese, which I don't know, it's like a cream cheese with some peppers.
Worth the hype? Or
there's a ton of different cheese in it. I was like, what would you rate it?
I don't know, like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Nothing special about it. I brought one and left it in my bag for half the day, and it got warm.
Gross.
No, but the cheese kind of melted, and I don't know if I was just starving at that point, but I was eating it, and that's actually when I liked it.
Yeah. So, they do serve it cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, which isn't like my cup of tea, but I did like it. I think the first few bites, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then, like, you know, 2 days later, I'm like, this is okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, novelty kind of wore off.
Yeah.
Was there booze? People drinking?
Of course, stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, there was booze. And a lot of people, like, at the end of the day, I'm walking around, and you see guys, girls, they have, like, all these cups, you know? And like, yeah. I think that's a souvenir, too.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. You have the gray, the transparent cups with the Masters logo. You also have the green cup with the Masters logo, like, very special.
Those were selling 4 for $20 on eBay.
Yeah,
really.
So the green ones,
15 of them.
You only get the you only get the green ones when you buy alcohol.
Got it.
Yeah. So then all the clear ones are the sweet teas and the pops.
Yeah. Okay.
And I saw some kid who only had white cups, and he wasn't allowed to drink.
Yeah.
So he went up to a guy who had all green cups. Right. I was like, hey, do you mind if I trade you the white ones for the green ones?
That's nice.
And he was nice about it. But, yeah, you know, deep down, he's just like, dude, this is like 3 times the cost as your white cups. Like, I could have bought your cups easily. So they did a little trade.
Yeah. Nice.
But, yeah, you definitely want to collect those. It's just
part of it.
Yeah. Next year when you have a Masters party at your house, you just serve one in those cups.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I have enough for like a beer pong match.
Oh, yeah.
Legit. Like, yeah.
Outside of, like, obviously there's a lot to kind of experience and see, especially for the first time.
Yeah.
How is the golf? Like, how is it seeing Scotty take down the green jacket? What was, like, obviously, like, I know we kind of touched on this kind of just us talking offline, but like, Bryson was -7 after round one.
Yeah.
And the leader finished at -11 for the tournament.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, everybody was saying, oh, the weather's supposed to get better throughout the weekend and all that. But it seemed like things were relatively flat from a scoring perspective. So what was the vibe like for you guys out on the course, like seeing like the gameplay? Like, were guys struggling? Like, what was the vibe like?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough golf. And I think a lot of players lose strokes on their approach shot. Not sticking the green.
Right.
I was watching the first hole for quite a bit when I first got there. And, yeah, people were hitting the green, and then it'd roll off on the back. And, it, you know, a lot of the greens were kind of like a turtle back layout. So it would just trickle all the way down. And without the rough, it wasn't catching it.
Right.
So it just kept going. But then saw some amazing recovery shots. The greens were fast. So you see them just like tap it, and it go the entire way. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think it would reach the hole just based on the stroke, but
totally
just kept going. So
yeah,
you know, I think watching the greens at the Masters, like kind of staying around those areas is where you'll see a lot of struggles, I guess.
I 100% agree. You know, like, these guys can, like, you know, off the tee, even their second shots are pretty fucking money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and the putting, I think, is where, you know, separates, you know, someone great and someone good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on that type of green, where, you can't really see it on TV,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it feels like there's moguls on the green, like they're so hilly. I'm just like, dude, how do you even, you know, comprehend what to do and where to put the ball?
Yeah.
It's nuts. I just don't get it. Like, the speeds of the green change throughout the day. Like, that's wild to me.
Which is,
you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Honestly, watching it just on TV as I was, I'm like, you asked me. But, like, on Sunday in particular, you know, like, I felt like Scotty was really just playing his iron. Like, his approach game was just smart golf. Like,
yeah,
he was, you guys, you know, you hear it all the time. Like, you gain more experience playing Augusta over time. Like, Max Homa, I think, was saying you have to play this place at least 3 times to get a feel for it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it just felt like he was, not only was he able to find those spots on the green that felt like a safer spot, but he was doing it with so much freaking confidence.
Totally.
And he was dropping in, and he was okay with taking a 3-putt if he needed to. He just knew how to play it responsibly. And
mature.
on our side, like watching on TV, we don't see all that stuff, right? Like you don't see the greens like that. It's like, why the fuck's he putting it into the middle of the green?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you see the ball fly 20 feet to the right.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, there's something that we're missing just being in the audience.
For sure.
That like, yeah, I was really curious about that. Like, is do you feel that in person, right? Like the speed of the greens and stuff.
I mean, I was watching some players practice before they tee off, and I saw Scotty and Colin. They're just working on 4-foot putts for like a good hour, like literally from here to here.
Yeah.
Just getting that feel, making sure they knock down those. Right. Like it's like clockwork.
Colin's like, oh, should I switch up my grip?
Yeah. But just the amount of focus they have on those short putts, like I'll never go warm up before a round and just do those putts all the time.
Yeah, right.
They did it for a very extended period of time. That's what makes or breaks a round, you know? If you miss one of those.
For sure.
Straight up, man.
Yeah, it's a huge momentum killer, right? Like, we saw a couple of these guys, like, have a couple fuck-ups here and there, and, like, Collins whole week turning around in the span of 3 holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Which is insane. Like, you play really awesome golf all week, and then to have it blow up in your face like that.
Yeah.
And then Max, kind of similar thing. Some of the early guys that were on the leaderboard never even made it through to the weekends.
Right.
Yeah. I guess watching from afar, it felt like this was Scotty's tournament. Even when it got close there, I actually didn't feel like they were that in it.
Right.
What was the vibe like there? Like, obviously don't have the anticipation of a Tiger coming up the ranks or Rory being part of it, or you didn't have the whole LIV versus PGA kind of, like, at a very competitive scale at the very end.
Right.
Like, in the
right.
home stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, what was the vibe like? Was it like, okay, yeah, we're sitting here to watch Scotty win and hope he doesn't fuck it up. And then like the other half of people are like, I hope he fucks it up so there's something to watch here. Like, what was the vibe like?
From my perspective, because I'd be chilling at the 18th. It was hard for me to like walk the course, especially on the last day, you know, and then you're looking at the leaderboard. So you're seeing all these different scores go up and down, but you just see Scotty's go up.
Right.
So the people that I were surrounded by were just like very, Scotty's got this. You know, Scotty's a machine. You know what I mean? Like they're in favor for this guy, you know, and they're like, no one's going to come close to Scotty.
Yeah.
Even like I would make conversation with the people that were in line coming up to take their photo. I'm like, oh, like, who do you guys want to win today? And, you know, a lot of them were like, you know, they're not saying Scotty.
Right.
And I'm like, and they would ask me, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to see Scotty win. They're like, oh, you're a Scotty guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the story of Augusta, of just like a lot of these tournaments these days.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scotty, he was on a tear before the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And on the final day, you had Colin, Max, and Alberg there. And Alberg's first tournament. At the Masters.
Yeah, he's sick, by the way.
He's very, very solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put some money on him. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he is.
And then Max hasn't really won any big tournaments. Well, no majors at least. And so it did feel like there was a big separation in terms of just experience.
Right.
From those three.
Yeah.
So even if there was a one stroke difference, like it felt like Scotty had this in the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just kind of ran away with it as soon as they all made a mistake, right?
But yeah.
Like you said, they're 2 strokes behind Scotty. Like, that's still an uphill battle, even if there's 7 holes left.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like, okay, Scotty's going to blow up on one of these holes. Because Scotty was so consistent that entire day and just played smart golf.
Yeah.
No major mistakes.
I will say, like, on his consistency, so I was able to catch the 18th hole, I was able to catch Scotty finish every single day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And his drive would end up in the same exact spot every single day.
Right. I love that. Like, it sounds like you guys got the full gamut of it, right? Like, you saw a potential future GOAT take down another green jacket. Mm-hmm. First time Master experience. Off the top of your head, out of 10, what do you rate the experience? Like,
fucking 12?
Yeah, 12, yeah.
Straight up.
Okay, let me rephrase that for you boys. Leaving the Masters for the first time, like any letdowns or anything that you didn't like or like anything that you like, you're like, ah, this was like, it didn't hit it for me.
Yeah, there are a couple things. Like, I hate to be like nitpicky, but we talked about the food. Like, I feel like that could have been better. The pulled pork sandwich was unreal, but those sandwiches could use a little bit of work.
Especially 4 days of that if you're there for the
whole week.
Exactly.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, if you're there for a day, you know, the food might be something that you're really into.
The novelty of it, all of that, yeah.
Exactly. But then if you're there for, like, a longer duration, like, you know, get all that food out of the way the first day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, explore.
Exactly.
The menu.
Honestly, Amen Corner was kind of disappointing.
Oh, yeah?
Because I couldn't see on the whole 12. Like, you can't see the green. So you can't really see what's going on from even the grandstands. Because it's like, spot. You can see the tee box, but then it's pretty far out.
Right.
So, like, you know, you cheer when they make a putt, but you don't really see, like, what happened around the green.
Right, right.
I wish you could just have a better look.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it's such an iconic hole.
Yo, right. And on that note, I saw a lot of people with, one, binoculars.
Yeah.
And range finders, which I thought was really cool.
Finders was smart.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So another tip for y'all.
Yeah, that's a big tip.
Yeah, binoculars make sense, too. Like, you can really... At least on the putts and stuff, then you're engaged, right?
Yeah.
And you'll track it, you'll follow it, at least with the golfers you like.
Exactly.
No, it's dope.
From my POV, man, I'm a Augusta National advocate.
Fucking brand ambassador over here.
See? No, real talk. Like, it was, again, like, one of my favorite events all time. I've been to a few, and this is definitely on my, like, top three, like, you know, events that I've ever been to. Right. So I don't really have much negativity to say toward my experience.
Yeah.
And it was kind of different than, you know, what people are going to be used to, you know?
Right, right.
I kind of had like an all-inclusive experience, you know? The food was free. The beer was free. I didn't really have to park, you know? So it was just different.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I was very fortunate to be part of that situation. And
yeah,
so...
It's still a 10 out of 10, though.
Yeah.
Like, everything else was just, I feel like they hired a consultancy agency and just figured out how to make the most efficient tournament ever.
Yeah, right.
And they had so many employees and volunteers, even in the washrooms, like the public washrooms, there were so many stalls, and they had like four workers in there, swiping down the counters, guiding you through.
Right.
Like, at every single washroom. The parking lot had like hundreds of people just guiding you through the parking lot.
I love that. I think that, like, those are the things that make take like a really cool event and make it a memorable experience. And like, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like,
yeah,
the fact that they're staffed up to that extent is pretty incredible. So
yeah, go ahead.
No, a
lot of the staff there, they're either in college and it's like an internship. It's like a co-op. Like the restaurant that we did go to, it was all just like college kids, you know, and a lot of locals that are working there are volunteering,
you know,
and that's why they're able to like staff up. And who wouldn't want that to be part of their, you know, portfolio or experience? But yeah.
Dope. Cool. I mean, so, well, fuck you guys. Sincerely, from all the Golf Heads followers. But no, that's amazing. Masters done. Scotty continues terror. He won again the week after, I think last week at the
RBC
Heritage. Nelly killing it on the women's side the last couple weeks, or fuck, last couple of months.
Yeah, man.
Five in a row. She's taking a break.
Like, yeah, she like a self-imposed break, right? Like,
yeah.
She,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's not playing next tournament. She's like, yeah, I'll just let some other...
let
someone else win for
That's
once.
Amazing, man. Good for her, man.
But
well-deserved.
Yeah, I think a big part maybe of our next episode is going to be talking about like just the future of golf. Like, we have some big tournaments coming up over the summer. Mm-hmm. We're typically pretty involved with the RBC Canadian Open. And so, like, yeah, just looking at, like, you know, we have a couple outlier golfers here, but the rest of the field feels a little stagnant or a little flat right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of interesting up-and-coming golfers.
Talent.
But in that upper echelon of actually competing for wins.
Yeah.
I think that group is narrowing down even less and less every tournament.
For sure.
And so I'm kind of curious to see where this goes, where... Are you going to see what we kind of saw in tennis and other individual sports where you have a couple of these goats that just end up ripping all the majors, all the big tournaments, and kind of just see a takeover of three or four golfers donate everything?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or are we going to see like kind of post-Tiger where as soon as he stopped like really pushing for all the majors. Now you started seeing diversified a little bit and other golfers kind of coming through.
Right, right.
I'm really curious to see where that goes. I thought the Masters, as much as everything you guys loved about it and the experience sounds amazing, like I was actually a little underwhelmed from the actual golf side of it. Yeah. I hated the fact that like the Brysons of the world, Brooks, Rory, Tiger, all like that wave fell off after day one or two. The hype was gone.
Yeah. Right.
And you only had like really Homa, Scheff,
top four.
Yeah, you had a couple calling, right? Like a couple and guys that I would consider household names that were actually competing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that does worry me a little bit. Like, I think it's interesting as the new wave of golfers comes in, but it also speaks to like, you need that core group of golfers that people can really start to rally behind and get behind. And I feel like we're kind of missing that right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a lot of the big names going to live. I think that hurts a lot of the tournament. You know, it would have been cool to see, you know, Rahm up there on the lead. Like, if Rahm was second or third to Scheffler on the final day, I would have felt like, okay, this can go either way.
Right.
But with Colin and Alberg and Homa, like, I didn't feel like they just were at that level to compete.
To compete.
Right?
Yeah. No, I don't.
So, you know, Cam Smith, Brooks, you know, Bryson was kind of there. But, I mean, I think Scheffler is just going to go on a tear without really any
comp.
Any comp.
As a fan, I would love to see, like, one, either the PGA and LIV come together, or, you know, top PGA guys play LIV guys, you know, have that as like a tournament moving forward. And like, I think that'll just, you know, not only engage the current audience, but gain new ones. You know what I mean? It's a different style of golf play. Like, it's super cool.
I'm on the flip side though, it is nice to see there's kind of someone taking the reins from Tiger.
And
Scotty's kind of that guy right now and untouchable. So he still has a long way to go to like match Tiger's record of being number one. I think he needs to like be number one till 2035.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's wild.
You think there's any issues with him being like, honestly, calling spade a spade? Like, he's kind of boring, right? Like, even his game style, right? Like, he's pretty conservative, really tactful player, but like, he's fucking boring. The most exciting thing that I think has happened to his game in the last like year was him switching to putters.
Yeah.
Right. And even that, like, okay, now he's rocking the spider. Okay. So like, you know, like what else is interesting about the guy? And so
true.
I do like, again, just thinking about golf as a whole, right? You have all these young golfers getting really hype and really into it. Like growing up, I had Tiger to fall into. Mm-hmm. And when he was done, like Rory was that young golfer up and coming. I like Brooks a lot. So there's a couple of these guys that were coming up in the last like 10 years or so.
Right.
But like, I just feel like behind him, there's a little bit of a gap there. And I'm just, again, I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Curious to see if like people are just as hype about going to all the major events moving forward. Like we've, you know, knowing that it's just not as competitive. Like the field isn't as big as we think it is anymore. And
right. The
women's game has seen that with Nelly as well. When you have like an outlier like that just taking over, like, does it actually end up, as much as you want to watch their greatness, does it suck away from the rest of it?
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because people can't associate with Scotty the way they did with Tiger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want to see Tiger win every tournament.
It's so true. And like, comparatively, like if you look at them two, Tiger's wins are so creative. You know, he gets into these trouble shots.
Yeah.
This
guy's
making like trap stinger draws, like, you know what I mean? Like underneath a tree.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Scotty's on the fairway. Boop. So consistent.
Yeah, very consistent.
Like, Tiger was such an entertainer, such a talented entertainer.
And like, not to take away from just being badass golfer.
No.
Like,
to compare the two, you know?
It's too stoic for me, right? It's like, the cookie cutter golfer that you develop in a lab and you put out into the real world. It's a little robotic. Right,
so like, true, man. Like, you talk about his different types of shots.
Yeah,
like they say, you know, he's like Tiger on with the irons. You know, he's like I forget his name, but like the Spanish golfer. He scrambles like him, you know, and he putts like so and so. You know, it's so cool. It's so true.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I did see in the final round of him being a bit more animated on the course, which you don't see on TV, and that kind of shows a little bit of his fire. In his game,
he fist pumped after that last putt. That was the first time I've fucking seen that.
Yeah, I'm like,
Well, you had a lot of things to cheer about.
I know, man. This guy.
You know, that's type of perspective. I like hearing that because, like, again, I feel like we didn't really see much of that.
I want to see more of that, though. Just to be like, you know, I'm untouchable right now.
Like, don't fuck with me.
Come at me.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, like, I was kind of disappointed to hear his press conference where he was just like, you know, like, it's just golf, go see my family. Like, yeah, I get it. But, like, be fucking pumped that you just won a green jacket. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like he's chasing anything. Like, chasing to be the next great player.
Yeah.
He just wants to play good golf and win, which he's doing, and then go home and freaking relax.
Yeah. Like, part of me thinks that's why he's so good.
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be.
Like, mentally, he's just like, you know? Like, a lot of these great players, like, well, you look at Colin, you look at, you know, JT, and when it comes to the last round and they're up by like one or two,
yeah,
what's going on mentally?
Right.
You know, are they so focused on this shot where Scotty's like, you know what? If I make a good shot, I make a good shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's up for debate. I don't know, you know, and like, and that's what I've learned about him with his press conference.
Yeah.
He's so like, you know, golf isn't really my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about like my family. It's more about like this kid that's gonna come through.
That just hurts the brand, though. You know, it's like when you think about
Scotty's brand.
Yeah.
And I think he's that type of stuff will impact his legacy long term.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like Tiger Woods, Jordan, they're like, I want to be the greatest. Like I'm here to win tournaments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I do for a living.
Right, right, right. And that doesn't come off.
And the Scotty, especially what he said after the Masters, was just like he doesn't really care.
Yeah, that's like AI robot golfer type.
Yeah, NPC type stuff.
ChatGPT.
So
interesting. Yeah.
Maybe it'll come out of it. Maybe someone needs to call him out, you know.
Yeah. Like, maybe he hears this pod and maybe I should.
That is himself. What how do you know that's not him?
I can sign some Malbin and
wear some baggy pants or something. You just try something.
Well, something new.
That heat that vest got was crazy.
Yeah, that was actually kind of jokes. It kind of looked like a cigarette pack to me, like De Maurier or like a Lucky Strike.
Marlboro, yeah.
Yeah, but I like the idea of it. I like that they disrupted shit. I think it was Landforce. Shout out to Landforce. He actually put up a cool insight, which is like the Google search for Malbon, like not only spiked, but against their baseline of what they would typically get, it was like a fucking hockey stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, and that just goes to show you the power of where that collaboration kind of went.
We had our
thoughts on it early on, and you know, you can listen back a couple episodes and you can hear what we thought about Jason Day joining.
Right.
But now seeing the actual impact of it at a place like Augusta was obviously pretty impactful.
Totally.
Great move. And who would have thought a vest would have stirred up that much shit?
Yeah.
Also, the baggy pants, you got a lot of shit for that. But it's also windy as hell. It just felt like a bad day to wear baggy pants like that.
Yeah.
I know. It did look sick. I loved it.
Yeah. Malbin's, they're making a splash. Lots of positive and negative controversies around it. But, hey, man, a lot of people know about Malbin now.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe we see some of the newer brands come up in these new tournaments that are around the corner.
Yep.
Such as the Canadian Open is happening soon.
Yeah.
End of May.
When's the U.S. Open this year? It's got to be not far.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming up.
Yeah.
President's Cups this year. Yep. That's a big one. Montreal,
which is nuts.
Yeah.
We got to go down there.
Gotta go.
Yeah, we're gonna go.
Yeah. This year. Hell yeah! But I mean, to wrap it all up, boys, like, I thought this was wicked.
Yeah.
Good Masters talk.
Thanks for sharing the experiences. Like, again, having not gone, and I know a lot of the people listening want to hear what that experience and what that environment's like. So,
this has been fun. Till next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heads Up Podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Keep supporting us. We really like putting this content together for all of you who are listening. So let's go.
Let's go.
Awesome.
Peace.